All right, welcome back, everybody. We are at the just past the 8 p.m. Eastern hour here, and as soon as my guest sets back down in his chair, I will introduce him. I have Vinnie Eastwood on with us from RealGorillaMedia.com and also the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Hello, Vinnie.
Hello, Stephen. Hello, Todd. Nice to be here.
Yes, thank you for coming on.
Absolutely. It's great to have you.
Yeah, it's great to have me, too.
It's great to have myself.
Yeah.
In an age where we're owned and born as slaves into a debt slavery money bank system on birth certificates with the vaccines jabbed into your veins from birth and getting forcibly circumcised with birth trauma and being forcibly indoctrinated in high school and primary school and kindergarten and all of that, actually having yourself is quite rare.
Yeah.
That's right.
First question right off the bat, Vinnie, what do you think of my background? I get a lot of good compliments on it, and I've only had a couple, two or three kind of negatives there. But
I don't know. I think I'll have to do a background check on you to find out.
Okay. Well, we're avid hunters and avid Second Amendment advocates here. So,
there's nothing like a bunch of decapitated heads on your wall to make a man feel manlier.
That's right.
I mean, Vlad the Impaler. You know, he had it down, yo.
Right. He's actually, I think Steve is related to him.
No, just, I'm not going to go there, but.
Well, if you look into Steve's background, Vinny, he was actually at one point charged with being a serial killer of deer.
No kidding. Was he, what about elk? Do you ever kill elk or, you know, because apparently there's a Canadian terrorist cell called Al-Qaeda.
Al-Qaeda, yeah. No elk, just a couple of moose and some deer and some bear and rabbits, squirrels, all them little fuzzy critters that a lot of people love.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about it, you know. Man, it's so fuzzy and so cute. Let's shoot it.
I know. Where's the sense in that, right? I think you're referring to LCIADA.
LCIADA? I don't know. I don't think that means the database.
Yes, indeed.
But anyways...
Well, look at the definition of terrorism for a second here. Look it up in the dictionary. If you looked up terrorism in the dictionary, it's fascinating. It's a system of government. Like, it's right up there next to communism, fascism. I mean, that's how you know what a system of government is, because it's got an ism, you know? Like a Vinny-ism.
Right, exactly. That's right. Yeah, you can lead a population anywhere through fear.
Yeah, and that's what terrorism is. It's a governmental system designed to make people afraid into doing the government's bidding. Holy frack!
That's right.
We're living in a terrorist state.
That's right. Yeah, you can use force. They use force upon the people, but they tell the people they're not allowed to use force.
Yeah, I mean the Jedi wouldn't be happy with that.
Well, you know, Vinny, until I get my own personal guardie or a police officer or TSA officer, I'm gonna protect myself. So,
yeah. But then again, if you did have your own TSA officer, you'd want to protect your crotch,
right?
That I was just gonna comment on that, because you know how you can tell whenever he gets a TSA, you're gonna know because he's gonna be walking funny.
Yeah, I mean the Mexican immigrants don't like it. They call them the TSA.
That's right, exactly. Yeah,
very good one. But before we brought you on, Vinny, Todd and I were speaking last night. He actually did his very first show on his own. I was unavailable, and he took the stream, and he had a sheriff from the state of Delaware, Sussex County, Delaware. His name was Jeff Christopher. And Sheriff Jeff Christopher of Sussex County, Delaware, is in a fight for his job. Actually, probably a fight for American sheriff's rights and powers here in America. What the state of Delaware is trying to do is, by legislation, take away all sheriff's powers away from him and Delaware being such a small state, there are only three counties in the state of Delaware, and there are only three sheriffs and however many deputies that these three sheriffs have. And he's actually in a Delaware Supreme Court fight right now. That's right. He was going to be his court date was tomorrow, or it would actually be today for you, but tomorrow for us on the 11th, Todd, didn't he say?
I believe so, yeah. I think he said it was the same date as 9/11.
Ironically, yeah.
So yeah, he's going to court where he's going to have all his rights and abilities as an American sheriff taken away from him on September 11th, day that they're voting whether or not to invade Syria.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Yeah,
You can't make this stuff up.
No, you can't.
No, you can't. I mean, it's reality is truly stranger than fiction. I mean, this guy, you know, one of the things I was telling Steve earlier is that if this guy, you know, if they're allowed to set this precedent so that a state can strip a sheriff of their powers, then they're really setting the stage to do a lot of dangerous things and to really take over. Right now, we have a chance to stand with our sheriffs and to preserve freedom and liberty. So hopefully, you know, this thing will prevail on his side.
Well, the American sheriff are virtually an endangered species, unlike a lot of representatives who are elected. They've actually got kind of real power.
Right.
And as a result, that real power that they're granted by being elected means that they can actually have almost domineering rule over the counties. This means that if a politician is corrupt, the sheriff is the only one who can go and arrest them. It means if the feds are coming in and trying to point guns at people for selling raw milk in violation of their constitutional rights, the sheriff is the one who turns up to defend them with his freaking guns.
Yep,
that's right.
And Sheriff Richard Mack has been traveling the nation for quite some time, attempting to instill back into the local sheriffs this indeed responsibility. They are the front line in the effort to restore the republic, in my opinion.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
Sheriff Mack's name did come up as you just explained in last night's show, and we will be having him on the 20th. I'm sure that is one of the main subjects of what our talk will be with Richard Mack. And also, you happened to mention raw milk and a sheriff, and I'm actually going to have that sheriff on also, Brad Rogers from Elkhart County, Indiana, northern Indiana. We're having him on October 7th, so that ought to be pretty interesting. And they are all friends. They all know each other. Brad Rogers knows Jeff Christopher, and Brad Rogers knows Jeff Christopher and Richard Mack and many, many other sheriffs. They are all teaming together. They are all talking. They are all learning. They are all standing up and asserting their rights and state-given powers.
Yeah, recently, I don't know if you heard, Vinny, but recently we had a sheriff here in the state of Florida down in Liberty County, which is South Florida. A sheriff by
something,
the name of...
Whoa, Liberty County? I smell some irony coming.
I know, right? Exactly. Liberty County, you think. But Sheriff Nick Finch of Liberty County was arrested with the backing of Florida's Governor Rick Scott for defending the Second Amendment. Basically, what happened was a guy...
I was right. I was right.
You can't
it's...
Like
it's
you said, you can't make none of this up, Vinny.
Well, it's just like my general belief structure is whatever seems official, it's probably the opposite. So Liberty County translates literally as Tyranny Central.
Right.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you consider that the state is ruled by, you know, the guy that arrested him, Governor Rick Scott, I mean, we have, you know, the state of Florida, you know, much like many other states, are turning into prison camps, essentially. But this guy, there was a guy in his jurisdiction, in his county, Liberty County, that was arrested for something to do with his concealed weapons carry or something to that effect. And so the sheriff, Nick Finch, determined that, wait a minute, now this arrest was not a legal arrest. This was not constitutional. So what he did was he let the guy go. And the Governor Rick Scott said, oh, no, we're not going to have all this, you know, freedom and liberty stuff going on and defending the Second Amendment. So we've got to arrest that sheriff and put him in his place because freedom and liberty is evil.
Yeah, well, again, everything's – we live in an opposite world, do we not? You know, like everything's a contradiction.
Yes.
And this is what I find very interesting is when a lawman – gets arrested by the lawless.
Yeah. Once again, irony.
Uh-huh. You know, there's more irony in the United States than there was shipped away from the World Trade Center before the fire department could take a look at the metal. And the element within the United States that I believe is causing all of this is multifaceted. You know, it's the New World Order. It's the Federal Reserve Bank, really, at the core of it. You know, that's when America was taken over. Okay, previous to that, you had 10% economic growth, no taxes, liberty, freedom, justice for all, no forced public schooling, so on and so forth. Federal Reserve Act comes in, boom. World War One comes in, boom. And then, before you know it, after 100 years. A Federal Reserve rule. You're taxed so badly that you can barely survive. You're so uneducated that you can barely think. And you're so enslaved that you don't even know what freedom is anymore.
Yes, yes.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
Give us a little bit of schooling, Vinny. When did New Zealand and Australia become under the control of the New World Order?
Well, you know who Cecil Rhodes is?
Sure.
Okay. Cecil Rhodes, for those of you who don't know, had a bunch of wills, and he was the wealthiest guy, like in the British Empire, you know, Zimbabwe used to be called Rhodesia after Cecil Rhodes. He was that frickin' rich. All the mining, diamonds, that kind of thing. When he died, he had 7 wills. And those wills, only one of which is made public, that's called the Rhodes Scholarship, were to set up a secret society to advance the aims of the British Empire. So, the New World Order was in control of New Zealand as soon as the British Empire arrived.
Right.
That's pretty much it. You know, from day dot, from the founding of your nation, that is the seed of tyranny. And recently, it's kind of like heating up, and people are starting to see it. I don't know if they're starting to see it on grand enough numbers, and more to the point, I don't think grand numbers matter. What I think is just a small number of determined individuals who see what's going on and taking personal responsibility for the safety of their nation. That's what I believe is the most important factor. The masses never wake up. The masses have never mattered throughout the entirety of history. Every single revolution that has ever been fought by less than 5% of the population. American Revolution beat the British Empire, the largest, most sophisticated war machine in the entire world at the time, was beaten by less than 3% of the population. Okay,
that's right. That's
so,
right. Yeah, we got together, and you know, got our, you know, our, the colonials got their pitchforks and their muskets and their, you know, whatever else they could grab, and said, "Hey, let's do this." You know, they're not going to come over here and take our guns and tax us and everything else.
Yeah, and yet that warrior spirit, that fighting spirit, has been drummed out of people over time because they're born into a system that is specifically designed by social engineers to limit creativity, to limit independence, to maximize herd mentality, to maximize dependence on government. That is what the whole Declaration of Independence was about, because at the time, at 1776, everybody was really independent, you know? There were no government handouts. If you lost your job, you're fracked. You know, you had to go stay with your family or something of that nature. You had to frickin' take care of yourself. And if you didn't know how to take care of yourself, you had to learn or you're gonna die. And the mentality now today is everybody owes me something, okay? The media would tell me if there was something wrong.
Right.
The government would, the government would never do something like that.
Right. Of course not.
So they teach you, this is why we live in opposite land, is because we've been taught the direct opposite to the truth from frickin' birth.
And it's unbelievable. Well, I cannot hear it.
There is.
Well, what you're talking about there, Vinny, is that is a type of WMD. That's a weapon of mass domestication.
There is there is one thing that our esteemed puppet of the United States did tell us true in late 2008. He did say he was going to, what were his words? He was going to systematically change the way America was going to be become, or I don't think it was systematically. What? That was another word.
He was going. I think he said something along the lines of he was going to fundamentally
change. That's what it was. He was going.
Yeah, he puts the mentally into fundamentally. Doesn't
exactly
right.
Exactly. Yeah. He. Yeah. He changed.
And he has
it
fun
right.
while doing it. Hence.
He's having a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And in New Zealand nowadays, okay, like you take the United States, you take what you know about the United States, about its public education system, its draconian legislation, its ridiculous taxes, and its BS, and its violent police officers and everything like that. You don't know nothing about New Zealand, right? Then you take that template, that exact same frickin' New World Order template, you apply it to New Zealand, it fits like a glove. All right.
That's right.
This
sure.
is the reason why I know from the evidence that we're operating under a global system is because all the laws in New Zealand are mimicking those within the United States. All the laws in the United States are being mimicked by those in the UK, are being mimicked by those in Australia, are being mimicked by those in Canada. The entire English-speaking world has the exact same legislative drip feed, essentially.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, they're all being run by the same – all these countries that you speak of, they're all being run by the same banking cartel.
They all have private central banks. In New Zealand, you go down to the Reserve Bank of New Zealand building. It's right next to Parliament building, mind you. And what is on the wall right behind the front desk? Take a guess.
Cameras, maybe?
A giant red shield.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, okay.
Red shield. Rothschild.
Red shield in German means Rothschild.
Rothschild, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, Vinny, why do you think they took all of the westernized world's weapons, like Australia, New Zealand, England, Scotland, UK, Ireland? Why do you think they took all of their weapons first? And
let's look at its historical context.
Come after America's first.
Let's look at a historical context. Can you name me a country in the entire world that has had its weapons confiscated off its people and only been armed government and police that hasn't wound up in a tyrannical extermination campaign?
Well,
they don't frickin' exist.
Right, yeah.
Because whenever you take the people's weapons, they have no defense against a tyrannical government. And that's the reason why a tyrannical government tells you to hand in your guns. And there are all these different methodologies for doing so. I mean, you take Armenia, for example. You ever heard of the Armenians?
Oh, sure.
Probably not, because they all got exterminated. Hand in your guns. Women, hand in your men's guns and tell us where your men are so that we can keep them safe. And then they hand in their guns and then they shoot the women, get the information off of them first where their men are, and then go off and exterminate the men who are now unarmed. Okay?
That's deception
to kill you. Okay. Here's the mentality.
That's right.
And this is why people don't understand it, is because they don't share this mentality. I am a ruthless, psychopathic, control freak killer. I hate freedom. I hate liberty. I hate independent thought. I hate creativity. I hate independence. I want everybody to be under my thumb, my jackboot, my freaking laws. And I will not follow my own freaking laws because I will be the master and commander of everything.
That's right. Yeah, they hover outside the very system that they've created for us. The laws and the rules are only for the slaves. They create this slave camp for everyone else, and then they kind of just orbit around that. They exist outside of that, where none of the rules, none of the laws apply to them. They can do whatever they want. You know, they can go over and bomb women and children with their drones halfway across the world, and then the President of the United States stands on the graves of the Sandy Hook children saying, oh, we need to take your guns because we have to keep the children safe, and oh my God, the poor children. Meanwhile, they're picking up pieces of children halfway across the world that he just ordered bombed.
Mm. And of course, he doesn't mention in his address to the nation saying that, oh, we need to take people's guns to keep the children safe, that there were a number of other attempted school shootings in the United States that year where the gunman got shot before he could even squeeze off a round because there the teachers were armed.
There you go. Exactly. Well, it's the same thing I was saying, Vinny. I mean, we have all these shootings, right? We have theater shootings, school shootings, you name it. And the people lay there like sheep to the slaughter. The only thing they can do is pick up their cell phone and say, hey, come help me. There's someone shooting. And meanwhile, they're all being slaughtered. If at least one person had their own gun to say, you know what, I'm taking this guy out, they could have either saved everyone's lives or at least kept so many from being killed. But you know what? It's better to just lay there and be slaughtered. If you have let's say you have two different malls, right? Two different shopping centers, and you're going to send a guy in to go burglarize one mall. And you tell him, okay, in mall A, no one has a gun. Okay. None of the shoppers, there's no security people with guns. There's not one gun in that whole entire facility. Now in mall B, there may be one or two people that have their own guns, but they're concealed. You're not going to know where they're at or who it is. Which place do you think psychopaths and sociopaths are going to go to?
Yeah. Criminals do prefer disarmed citizenry, and people don't understand that although there is over 11,000 deaths caused by guns in the United States every year, that guns in the United States are used to prevent up to 200,000 violent crimes. Okay?
Right. Oh, that's
the freaking statistics of it.
We can't talk about that, Vinny. That's evil, man.
Yeah, John Lott, more guns, less crime. This guy has done some incredible analysis of gun control legislation. Can you name me a place in the United States or even anywhere in the entire world where guns have been banned where the murder rate went down? They don't freaking exist.
No, it doesn't happen at all. But
all right. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You know, you got your cell phone. You're going to stab somebody with a knife phone. You know.
You know what I'm going to do, Vinny? I'm going to blind them with the flash on my cell phone camera.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like a flashbang cell phone. And yeah. here's the most interesting point that I think was brought out by John Lott is the experiment in Israel. In Israel, previous to suicide bombers and so on and so forth, Palestinian terrorists use AK-47s to massacre civilians and so on and so forth. Now, Israel at the time was wondering, how exactly can we prevent these mass attacks and so on and so forth? You know, they're targeting shopping malls, they're targeting just residential areas, you know, they're all over the place. What they said was, okay, let's put a trooper on most corners throughout the city. Okay, that'll be very discouraging to terrorists, right? And what they found was the trooper will be standing there, always looking around for something to happen, and then when he rotates his shift, that's when the terrorists attack because he's out in broad daylight. They can see him, so they're on the advantage. So then they said, okay, well, that's not working overt military policing, so let's try concealed carry permits. And what they found was there was a massive uptake within Israel of concealed carry permits. A lot of elderly Israelis women and so on and so forth in particular would be arming themselves with small revolvers and so on and so forth. And after this happened, there was an incident at a shopping mall on a Monday afternoon, you know, not too many people around, you know, most of them are at work and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of the elderly there. And these three Palestinian terrorists walk in with AK-47s and they start opening up on the crowd. And they were very, very surprised because the crowd opened up and fired back.
A bunch of old women, wasn't it?
Now they bunch of old women. Yeah. They've pulled a revolver out of their purse. They'd been taught how to shoot. They fired straight, killed two of them, wounded the third one. Ambulance arrives and they pick up this third guy and he's apparently really beside himself. Nobody told us the old ladies would have guns.
Yeah. Hey Vinny, I got an interesting statement from one of the two chat rooms. Somebody would like to know what maybe the impact on guns and the gun ownerships in the country of Switzerland. Would you happen to know anything about that? Or
in Switzerland, every single household, to my knowledge, has an automatic weapon in it.
Yes.
There have been no burglaries in Switzerland for decades. Not a single home invasion. You know why? Because you don't invade a home if you know that you're going to get automatic weapons fire as your welcome committee.
And I believe they actually have a law, too, in that country that these automatic weapons have to be properly hid. And the police will have to come in every homeowner's house and inspect and try to find these weapons. And if they are able to find these weapons, the homeowners will get fined, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, yeah. No. They actually require them to have weapons. And that all stems back from when Switzerland, in its very early days, the people that lived there were worried about people from surrounding countries or territories coming in and trying to take their stuff. So, but yeah, that proves the point.
Well, not just take their stuff, but overthrow the entire government and the country.
Well, right, yeah, taking their property, everything. Yeah,
I think that's kind of inclusive in people's stuff.
Right,
exactly. So, you know, that goes to show, it proves, once again, when you have a well-armed population, people aren't going to, not only the government, but other people in the population are not going to be tempted to go rob their neighbor or rob someone down the street or in the next town over.
Right. Here's another historical context to you. People think that Nazi Germany discriminated against Jews, and sure enough they did. Okay, but the first group of people that it became legislated against weren't Jews at all. It was homeschoolers. Why would they do that? Well, back in the pre-World War I, the Empire of Prussia developed a thing called public schooling. And what they found was very interesting is that they were capable of taking children away from their parents who previously had been the source of knowledge and integrity and examples to follow. And now they had a group herd mentality that they could instill on children in a government-sanctioned and mandated schooling system. And they found out that when Prussia went to war with France prior to World War I, that Prussia had a massive influx of soldiers who were ready, willing and able to obey every single command, and the French had nothing like that,
right.
And they got the pants beaten off them.
Yeah,
in Germany,
mindless robots.
The first group of people, mindless robots. Yeah, yeah. So in Germany, the first group of people to be discriminated against were homeschoolers. So everybody wound up getting indoctrinated, and the very last group of people to get legislation passed against them were gun owners.
Yep. Yeah, that's
so
right.
There you have it. That's the thing that happens before your country turns into a complete tyrannical police state where your people start getting exterminated is when they take the guns. It happens in history over and over, and there is no escaping from it. There is no arguing with it. If you take the guns, the government turns tyrannical, the people get exterminated. End of freaking story.
Well, look at all these.
That's right.
Look at all these videos.
They're demonizing homeschooling over here big time. I mean, if you're a parent that tries to homeschool your child or children, you're gonna get demonized big time. They're gonna find different ways to they'll fabricate different ways to be able to come after you in order to create avenues to criminalize you. It's just ridiculous.
Well, look at all these videos, Vinny. Anybody can pull up on YouTube a video. One, for example, is two or three thugs walk into this little gambling casino type thing in the state of Florida, and they have little hand pistols. And I think it was like a 74-year-old man. He's way off in the back corner. He pulls a little Derringer or a 38 special out of his little fanny pack and goes after the two or three guys, and they just go running. So the point is, crooks and criminals don't want armed people. They want helpless victims.
That's right. Yeah, and that wasn't too far from me, actually. It wasn't too terribly far from here. But, yeah, exactly. And that brings up a good point, Steve. When you say crooks and criminals, you know, that can be the government, that can be the federal government, the state government, or it can be
individuals
out on the
street. What do you mean can be? It is.
That's That's what I've been saying.
Right, that's my point, yeah.
That's what I've been saying for weeks, Todd. What does the criminal look like? You know, does he does he shave his head, have tattoos, wear his pants down around his ankles, or does he does he wear a $3,000-$5,000 suit and work in a high-rise building? You know?
Oh, I call him. I call him. That's right. Exactly. I call. You know what I call him? I call the politicians and the government. They're criminals in suits and conservative haircuts.
Mm-hmm. All right. So this is the main deception that we have to deal with here: is that everything that we were brought up to believe is a lie. Okay. So the government is looking out for your best interests. It's a lie. The government adds fluoride into the water to be good for your teeth. It's a lie. The right. media tells reports on stories with fair and balanced news coverage. It's a lie. The public education system is there to educate people. It's a lie. It's there to indoctrinate them. The military is there to protect the nation. It's a lie. It's there to basically keep the nation in line if things got out of control, and also to secure reserves and resources from other nations that won't give them to you through fair trade.
That's right. Well, I always say if our military, Vinny, was fighting the true terrorists, the real criminals, they would be here at home fighting the federal government and the state governments.
Yeah, well, and the federal government and the state governments wouldn't have any defense if the military were actually there serving the people rather than the government. And this is something
right.
that I've tried to define within myself. So I'm a patriot. I love my country. You guys can relate to that, right?
Sure.
Okay? It doesn't mean I love my government, okay?
That's
it
right.
doesn't mean I love necessarily the land or whatever. It means I really just love my people, and I value their freedom, and I'm willing to sacrifice my life in order to ensure that they still have it for future generations. I don't care about the people today. What I care about those that are yet to be born, those who will inherit what is left when I'm gone.
Right. Well, particularly if you have I don't know if you have children, Vinny, but, you know, myself and many other people have young children, and, you know, we don't want them to wake up in a you know, as the saying goes, we don't want them to wake up in a land that their forefathers had conquered, and they're going to wake up as slaves in a land that their forefathers conquered. I mean, that's ridiculous. People have fought so hard. I mean, we're talking about, you know, blood, sweat, and tears, you know, over, you know, freedom and liberty, so that, you know, people like myself and Steve and yourself, you know, so we can have some level of freedom and liberty and freedom to choose and freedom to, you know, do whatever we please as long as we're not, you know, harming others. And our children are going to wake up one day, you know, my kids and anyone else who has children, they're going to wake up to no future. They're going to have nothing.
Hey, Vinny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've been given permission to tell you a general statement. There's a listener that says he has a reliable family source that in Australia, and I'm sure any other country too, the Israeli Secret Service regularly enters Australia with Uzi machine guns without any problem from customs other than a nod sheepishly in acceptance.
That's called diplomatic packaging.
Right.
It's great. Have you ever seen the movie From Paris with Love with John Travolta in it? It's great. He's in the interrogation room, and he's yelling at these French customs people who are telling him that he has to show them his bag and everything like that. He's like, frack you, frack you, frack you. You know, I don't care. I'm American and so on and so forth. You know, you can't do this to me. And then his friend who's there to DM, he says, okay, I've got a solution to this. And he pulls a sticker out of his bag and he puts it on the guy's bag that says diplomatic. And then takes it out and he goes, you know, he's like, oh my God. And that's actually the law. If you are a diplomat, you can bring in anything.
Sure.
Anything.
Sure.
Okay?
That's right. That's right.
And this is how they do it. And indeed, the law in New Zealand has just been changed. Police aren't allowed to pull over certain vehicles. For example, police aren't allowed to pull over ambulances. Police aren't allowed to pull over parliamentary limousines that the Prime Minister might be driving in. And now they've changed that law so that now they can't pull over foreign or New Zealand military vehicles.
Yep. Well, I know for a fact that in the state of California, here in America, that there are currently I believe it's over 9 million vehicles registered in the state of California that are not allowed to be pulled over and done anything with. So that just goes to the extensiveness just in one specific state.
Mm. Yeah, now, that's indicative of being well on our way to Nazi Germany again.
And everybody throws up Nazi Germany. And what I found very interesting about the socialist left in New Zealand is that whenever you put up a reference to what's happening now is like what happened in Nazi Germany, they actually remove your posts. And I was just like, whoa, hold on a second there. Why would socialists who are allegedly against Nazism, which is socialism, by the way, pull down references to Adolf Hitler and comparative legislation to what we're passing now? So the Homeland Security Act in the United States, there was a similar piece of legislation passed in Nazi Germany, you know, to protect the homeland, you know?
Well, that's right.
And you can't make that reference, of course, because, oh, everybody's saying everything's Nazi these days. Everything. Look, here's the unfortunate truth of it. Everything is Nazi these days. It never changed.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. Exactly.
But they didn't lose World War II. They just changed venues. It's like, you know, comrade, I don't think that people like this communism anymore.
I know. People don't like fascism either. You know, what we could do? Is instead of calling ourselves a fascist or communist, why don't we call ourselves free and independent? Oh, yes. Right. Why don't we call ourselves liberal and conservative? Oh, yeah, now you're getting it.
Yes. Very good. Very good, yes.
Huh, okay. Vinny.
Eyeballs and scumbaggery.
I got to make an announcement for the MSI listeners. Everybody needs to know, I'm not sure what's going to happen with it, but Ben Gilroy in Ireland was just arrested tonight and won't be released for another 30, or was just released 39 minutes ago, I believe. Not sure what the details on why he was arrested, but Ben Gilroy in Ireland is one of the biggest liberators of people from being evicted from their homes and just downright tyrannical ways of the Irish Gardaí, as they're called over there, or the police, as they would be called here in the States. But he was arrested earlier today.
Well, that's why he was arrested, Steve.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you just told everybody why he was arrested. I mean, come on now. You can't have freedom and liberty. Don't you understand? That's evil.
Right.
He probably also happened to mention the Israeli army, and he probably got arrested for that, too.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He's being held until Friday. He hasn't been released yet. My mistake.
Shiite Muslim.
Yeah.
You know, how many of your friends are currently in jail?
I don't have
for
any.
For political activism. I've got one. My friend Vince Seamer, and he's been in jail like twice before. And what he does is he exposes court corruption. In New Zealand, there are no court records. They don't record the court sessions.
Wow.
So it's a court of record without a record.
Wow.
That's convenient.
Uh-huh. And they literally just make the laws up as they go. It's the most corrupt court system in the world, according to Vince, because of this fact. And also, most high court justices and district court justices are related by blood. Okay? So out of 180-odd, you've got about 150 that are first cousins. All right? So you try going to the high court to say, this judge is corrupt, I need that person to be deposed, and you're dealing with the person's cousin. You try and get... I mean, it's like they're supposed to be independent, right? Our Supreme Court, okay, they threw out the Privy Council. The Privy Council is where you go, you know, it was like the highest court in all of the empire. And they threw that out, and they built an $8 million court building for 8 court justices, okay? 2 of which are a husband and wife. And you're thinking to yourself,
there you go, that's their honeymoon suite.
It's the law of the land, baby. That's the thing. That every time they destroy a country, the New World Order and so on and so forth,
They always do it legally. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
Have you noticed that just because you're doing something legal doesn't mean you're doing something moral.
Moral.
Doesn't mean you're doing something ethical. Doesn't mean you're doing the right thing. It just means what you're doing is legal.
Well, look, here in America, we have over 16 million laws here in America.
16 million?
Yeah. In all 50 states. In all 50 states.
Yeah. Well, Vinny, that's why we have the highest... We have the highest prison population in the world by far.
I mean,
we beat out China by millions. Yeah, we beat it. We beat out China by millions. We have a government that, or you know, I like to call them the powers that be, because we have powers that also that are controlling our government, that are the Oz behind the proverbial curtain, and they're just creating a situation where. The country is turning into a giant prison complex. And so what they're doing is, by passing all these laws, they're making it impossible to exist on a daily basis without breaking one or two or three laws, so that they can then create as many avenues as they can to criminalize people, to get them into the privately owned corporate prison complex, so that they can then access your SESKV account. They can then force you into slave labor, and have you do, have you make, whatever they want you to make for 25 cents an hour or what have you.
Now, imagine this. I think Ayn Rand mentioned this over 50 years ago, that laws are getting passed in the United States at such a rapid rate that you won't even be able to wake up in the morning or take a breath without breaking half a dozen laws. Okay,
that's right.
And that's the real truth of it, isn't it? And what happens when the majority of the population are in prison? Who says the majority of the population aren't already in prison of some form or another? Who says that this entire planet hasn't been turned into a prison by these so-called powers that be?
A virtual prison. Right.
Prison planet. Yeah, it's a prison planet. Well, these countries...
Now, speaking... going back to Vince Seymour, we were protesting outside the prison to let him in. He was turning himself in, and they wouldn't let him in to prison, even though he was sentenced to prison. And this is so ironic, it was really weird. And we're having this argument with these prison guards or whatever, and they go, "This over here is the prison, okay?" And I was like, "Hold on a second, are you saying the rest of the country isn't a prison?"
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And he's just like shaking his head at me. "Oh, you smartass." It's just like, "Of course I'm a smartass. Are you saying that you're different to me? Wouldn't that make you a dumbass?" "Well, yeah, working for a prison, so I don't know. Maybe influences. Come around you. You are who you associate with. You're only associating with criminals that are dumb enough to be caught and stuff like that. And that's your job, isn't it, bro?"
That's right.
Well,
that's
very logical. They're really smart criminals. They just got a lot smarter back.
No, the real smart criminals own the prison.
Right. And they're in them $5,000 suits, and they work in Washington D.C. and London and Paris or whatever.
Suits and conservative haircuts, Steve.
Auckland. I'm sorry, but.
Part of the reason why I've started wearing a suit during my shows and so on and so forth is because of the brainwashing capacity of it. Okay, well, think about this. All right, what's this around my neck? These?
Collar.
It's a collar, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What are these around my wrists?
Cufflinks.
Cuffs? Okay. And what's this? It's a tie, right?
Tie.
So I've got a collar around my neck, cuffs around my wrists.
Wait a minute. Don't tell me.
Tie like a leash.
Don't tell me. I know. You have the appeal
people
to...
People think that I'm free.
You have the appeal to authority, so your information is more presentable than mine is. No?
Who cares?
You're right.
I just wear the suit because I get to tell people that and get them to think about it. You know, this is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
Exactly.
This is the costume, okay? Wearing a suit and a tie, I call it urban camouflage.
That's a good one. That's good.
Can't be seen.
Hiding in plain sight.
You look the same as everybody else, don't you?
You're just another one of the corporate robots, baby.
Mm-hmm. And so
when they see somebody in a suit and a tie and with hair product and so on and so forth coming out and saying the New World Order and conspiracy theories and chemtrails and you're fracked and gun control is BS and so on and so forth. It does not compute. Hopefully, it'll jar some people out of their perception of reality that has been created for them by people wearing suits like mine.
That's right. You hit the proverbial nail on the head there, Vinny.
Mm-hmm. See, this is just my experiment because I like to be a very ironic individual. Almost everything that I do connotes hypocrisy. All right, and history invariably makes hypocrites of us all anyway. So I figure, frank it. Why don't I just embody hypocrisy?
That's right. Know? That's right.
At the same time as wearing my slave monkey suit, I'm preaching freedom.
That's right. Well, have you ever seen that movie, Vinny? It was made back in the 90s. It was called Tombstone. It had Val Kilmer in it, played Doc Holliday. One of my favorite quotes from that movie is Doc Holliday says, it appears as though your hypocrisy knows no bounds.
Well, actually, my favorite Doc Holliday quote was, you're so drunk, you're probably seeing double. I have two guns, one for each of you.
Yeah, I love that one. Yeah, that was great. He goes, the guy says to him, oh, it's the drunk piano player. You're probably seeing double. And he's like, I've got two guns, one for each of you.
What I find interesting about movies, I was thinking about have you seen the film Demolition Man?
Quite a while ago.
All right, and this is actually one of, I feel, in terms of New World Order propaganda and what the system might look like in the future, you go back and watch Demolition Man again. I mean, seriously, it's actually an incredibly well done film. Very, very sophisticated in the way that it's put together, especially for an action film. And you've got the future. People aren't allowed to swear. They actually get fines if they swear. Music and meaning and feeling, sex, kissing, everything outlawed. They're only allowed things that are basically for weaklings.
That sounds a little bit like 1984, really.
Yeah. Well, things it's all the same kettle of fish, don't you know? Look, if anybody thinks that there's creativity left in Hollywood, they're freaking kidding themselves.
Right.
Okay.
That's right.
All right. How many sequels have we come out? I can think of like about 20 trilogies off of the top of my head. True. You know, that's how little creativity there is. They use the same story, same characters, same this, same that, and then the other.
Look at all the singers today.
Say, oh, it's a new thing.
Look at all the singers today, Vinny. How many people have their own material? They, besides for the American country music artists, they are the ones that write their own music.
I write my own music.
Sure. Play a guitar, piano, whatever it happens to be. And you get the celebritard.
Oh my god, that's a brilliant word. I love that.
Retarded celebrity. A celebritard.
Steve, you never pulled that one out of your pocket.
I trust our president. Yeah. I think we should just get behind him and support that.
Right. Thank you, Brittany. You are the political commentator for the stars.
They have no talent. They don't even write their own music anymore. All they need is a pretty face and to be able to dance, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, dancing with the stars. Oh, God. Look, the only stars that those people should be dancing with are the kind that will burn them to a crisp in a nanosecond.
That's right.
Exactly.
You remember back when Brittany shaved her head, I couldn't tell if it was Mr. or Mrs. Spears.
Maybe it was Randy Spears.
Yeah.
You're probably not familiar with that, are you?
No.
Okay, he's...
Yeah. We'll talk about that in a minute when the phone starts ringing. Randy Spears, you know, hold that thought. Hold that, Randy Spears.
Steve operates a phone company in his spare time.
Yeah, well, just think of the name and then think of what his actual occupation might be. Randy Spears.
A pornographer?
Yes.
I just have a dirty mind. I got that really quickly. Yeah, right. Scarily quickly.
Sorry about the phone,
yeah,
everybody.
You know, those of you who are listening on radio, my eyes are dodging from side to side. Yeah.
Somebody told me I
porno music playing in the background. Hold on.
Somebody told me I didn't really know it either myself. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. That's good, gentlemen. Welcome. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, celebrity culture. And you know what's been very interesting is that people come into the truth movement and they think that they're past all that. You think that because you're out there and you're fighting for truth and liberty that suddenly all the other people around you are honest, truthful, decent people as well? Hell no. They drag that stuff of their past life into this movement with them. There's so much deception, misinformation, scumbaggery, lying, rage, accusing people of things that aren't true, paranoia, so on and so forth. Everything that we feel is wrong with society has followed us here. Noticed that?
Yeah.
Yep, that's right.
People have still got that baggage. I've still got that baggage. And I'm trying to work on myself on a daily basis, you know, trying to just, you know, forget all this stuff. All right. It's like, okay, stop being materialistic. Try to be original. Try to be a good, decent person. This is what I've tried to be my entire life. And I have failed. You know, and it's only once you can admit that you failed that you can actually try again.
Well, it's hard to break the deep conditioning. You know, you're talking about, and I've mentioned this before on the show. You're talking about a global population that, for the most part, is living in acquiescence through as a result of very deep cognitive dissonance. Because they live in a world that is based on cultivated ignorance. So you have, you know, it's very hard to break that. It's very hard.
Yeah, I mean, how long did it take you to get indoctrinated into kindergarten, high school, college, university, and postgraduate study? It took you like 25 years or something like that? And you think that after a couple of years of watching documentaries and listening to shows like this that you're all of a sudden cured? Hell no.
No.
It's going to take you another couple of decades, you know? Yeah. I'm considered to be one of the most highly prominent and onto it talk radio show hosts in this country in terms of this form of content. And I admit that I know nothing, that I have a hell of a lot of ground to cover between where I was being a selfish, arrogant, full of myself salesperson to being a real symbol of freedom, liberty, and hope. I have a long way to go yet. I'm on my way. There ain't no friggin' denying that. But I'm not there yet. And it's kind of like my reach exceeds my grasp. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to be able to determine what's true and what's false just by looking at it. Just by instinct, you know, I want that kind of a skill, kind of like how a soldier can take a rifle apart and put it back together, blindfolded kind of thing. I want to know truth by feel.
I think what you're talking about there, Vinny, is basically sharpening your sense of discernment. That's what, you know, that's what you need to do. That's what we all need to do.
Hey, Todd. Hey, Todd, Vinny, what do you do for a break? Do you put commercials on or just a song or?
A little bit of column A and a little bit of column B, frankly.
Okay. Well, we're at the first hour here, and I got a message from the administrator, and I thought I might take it. And then, I actually messaged him first, and I'm going to see what his response is. And I thought maybe we'd come back in a little over 5 minutes, and we might do a little something different. I'm not sure. I'm going to check the message. But if we don't do a little something different, we'll just go back to the show.
All right. Sound
like
no worries.
About a 5 minute break.
I've got to run and make one more coffee, and then I'll be good for one more hour.
All right. We'll be back in 5 minutes then, ladies and gentlemen.
See you then.
Which one? Oh, that's Space Stamp, right?
you doing?
Okay, welcome back, everybody. I brought Vince from MSI on with us. I still have Vinny Eastwood and Todd. So, hi, Vince.
How you doing, Stephen? Good to be on with you tonight. Just to let you know, Vince is currently arrested.
Can you get right up to your microphone there, Vince?
Sorry. Is that any better now?
It sounds like somebody's frying up some chips behind you, bro.
Could be. Hold on.
Somebody definitely having a feed of some Oh, yeah. There we go.
Yeah, I was about to say, who's cooking? I'm hungry.
Yeah. I got a banana.
Am I okay with that? Now can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's much better.
Now that the radio show host is the host of this program has muted his own mic, now we can hear you. I love the irony.
Well, look, just to let everyone know who's listening at the moment, just in relation to Ben Gilroy, we just heard not too long ago that Ben Gilroy was arrested. I don't know whether he was arrested at his home or not, but I was talking to him on Skype. The last communication was 22:36 p.m. tonight, and in particular, we were talking about Articles 40.5 of the Irish Constitution, and he agreed with me that opening the door would be a very bad idea if men came knocking that he did not recognize, whether they were wearing uniforms, costumes, or whatever. So how he ended up being arrested tonight, I don't know. I would be very surprised if he did open up, and if he didn't, the only way they could possibly have arrested him would have been to breach that particular article of the Constitution, 1937 edition, that is. So I've sent messages to his family and his friends and his wife, etc., saying if there's anything they need to let us know. Also, we were also talking earlier on very particular linguistic details about how to actually not only address anyone talking to you, regardless as I said, whether they're wearing a costume or not, how to respond rather than answer. So my feeling is he'll be fine. They're trying to, they picked him. He was one of 250 or 300 people, apparently, on the farmlands in Kildare that the Irish people apparently had decided they were not allowing an eviction to happen upon. Because I suppose his face is recognizable, they decided to make an attachment order for contempt of court against him, and I believe that's why they have arrested him. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm almost positive that's the reason. Now, the interesting thing about this, of course, is it can only be a civil matter. And I think everybody should really, you know, keep that clear in your mind. A civil matter. Now, maybe you might think that's a small point, but if you think it is, tomorrow try going into a police station anywhere in the world and asking for the assistance of the police officers or the constables, because somebody owes you money and you want to go to collect it. They will immediately inform you that is a civil matter and they will not have anything to do with it.
That's right. So
question, what's happening in this regard right now? So sorry for that. I had to just get all that information out, guys.
That's okay. That's a very some very pertinent points you made there.
Well, I think, I mean, I always like to, what's the expression? Where the rubber meets the road is the point I pay most attention to.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Well, it's good to get that information out there because as the system or the powers that be continue to attempt to fabricate evidence against people because of, you know, what they're involved in or what they're doing, we're all going to need to stick together because, as the old saying goes, and we've said this many times, if we do not hang together, we all will hang separately.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but the irony is either way you get hung.
Yeah. But the important thing here tonight was that myself and Ben were very, very particular about A, use of language and in the passive sense, and B, those particular articles of the Constitution, Article 40.5 41.11. Now, I understand in many other jurisdictions, you may not realize that, for example, in England and America and in New Zealand and Australia, Bunraich na hÉireann, the Irish Constitution, is actually a valid document in the legal courts. It's as valid as your constitution is here, believe it or not, because we are all under a government, mostly provisional governments. In fact, I think they're all provisional governments operating under the crown.
That's right.
They're operating under the there's a company registered in the United States called the Queen in Right of New Zealand, and whenever you're and that company owns this country. And I presume it's similar for everybody else. You know, these aren't states or countries or nations anymore. These are just companies.
And people need to realize that that is what is happening. I mean, I hear of all these different patriot groups and groups who are, they say, struggling for freedom and protesting and all this stuff. And what I would like to say to all those groups, be mindful. The crown-controlled British Empire has not been dissolved. It's simply renamed, rebranded, and shifted the attention away from itself as a singular entity. And it gave the appearance of multiple entities, and it told every one of you, you are independent. But they, when they say independent, they're saying two words, independence, not independence.
Right, that's right. That's right. Yeah, we have, like. That's why I was saying we have to stick together, because if we don't, it's going to get really bad.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I think it's time. I mean, what we have three separate continents right now in this conversation. In this conversation, and we are people who care. We actually care. I mean, I know Vinny Shaw. I love Vinny. How you doing, Vinny? By the way, sorry, I should have said hello to you earlier. How you doing? I mean, I've had Vinny on TNS in the past, and I've been on his broadcast. I know what he does. I know what you guys do. You know what I do. But we all agree that our intent, I mean, I know we all have different styles, but our intent is clear and true. We only want what's best for people, for everyone. And these lion sacks of SH1T in the suits in these corporate provisional governments operating under the crown globally, they want their nest feather. They care nothing for you, nothing. And if the people of planet Earth don't realize this and begin to wake up to that fact alone, pretty soon, don't be getting bent out of shape over who's fighting against who and what religion has been pitched against what religion and what race has been pitched against what race. Don't ever forget for a second, somebody is deciding which religion gets pitched against which religion and which race gets pitched against which race. And
or sex.
To destroy both races, both religions, in all cases.
That's right. Yeah, what you just talked about there, those are all systems of divide and conquer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing strikes me is feminism there strikes that, you know, women versus men. And it's like, well, hold on a second. Aren't they, don't they kind of work best as partners? Aren't they physically capable of fitting together somehow, you know?
Right.
You're not Vinny. I'm joking. Sorry.
Well, we read out an article on the on my show today that apparently if you eat chicken wings while pregnant and you have a male child, the male child will be born with an extra small penis. Oh, I was just thinking, whoa, that's kind of off topic. Sorry about that.
I'm not sure I wanted to know that, but thank you.
Just make sure, you know, if your missus is pregnant, bro, just don't go anywhere near them chicken wings. Otherwise, his girlfriends and previous thing will be able to be like making love to a cocktail weenie.
I have four, and four will do. Thank you very much.
Yeah. No one wants to be hung like a hamster.
Yeah. Let's hope they don't get sold to Dynecor.
Look, guys, I mean, I think I'd just like to bring this back to Ben Gilroy for a second, if I can, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Ben is the type of guy who's he's a frontline type of guy. He's an in-your-face, he's the big, gentle giant type. He's in your face, but he'll be smiling in your face. He's a friendly man. He's a big teddy bear. He wouldn't harm a fly. And I'm disgusted they've arrested him for this reason. I find it repugnant. And
it sounds like standard operating procedure to me, though, Vince, don't you think? That they would obviously go after somebody who wouldn't defend themselves.
Well, look, they tried the same with me, Vinny. I mean, there's a video online there when they were banging on the door here. They came armed. And what I did was I turned my back to them. And I made sure the door was latched. It wasn't latched at the beginning. I made sure it was latched. And I made a cup of sovereign tea. And I spoke to the camera. And I put up the video. And when I was searching for a title in my mind, I said, the only thing I can call this is Garda Síochána. Uphold the Constitution. You see, I do not have to demand they uphold the Constitution. It's silent. I just expect them to. But if I were to engage with them and to, you know, start bumping my gums, as they say, well, I might cause a problem. So I decided the Constitution, when you read it, it doesn't say anything. It's silent. You can read it. You can choose to read it. You know, people pick up a piece of paper and they say, oh, it says right here. And I have often said to people, as Harry would say on We the People, I didn't hear anything. God bless your hearing. I didn't hear a thing. That paper doesn't say anything to me, but apparently to them it does. And when they read it and they make oath, they uphold it. It's not for We the People to uphold the Constitution. It's for the servants. And many people don't realize this. They are not the servants of the people. They serve the crown. It is the queen and the king's peace they are keeping, not your peace. So please stop saying to them, oh, you're here to keep my peace. They are not. Do not talk to them. They're here to keep the queen's peace, the king's peace, not yours.
Right.
Well, this means taking everything from you.
Yeah, if you open your door, you are abandoning your right to privacy right there.
Yep.
If it's criminal, they don't ask any questions. They'll just kick your door in.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I put up a post on Facebook the other day, how to not be evicted. Number one, don't open the door. Number two, don't open the door. All the way to number five. And it just said the same thing each time. Do not open the door. If it's criminal, they won't ask. They'll just kick the door in. And you'll know exactly where you stand. And the outcome will be no different.
Right. Exactly.
Have you heard of Bill? I'm not sure if it's Bill Barry Cooper. Never get busted again. He was the top drug cop in Texas. You know, he'd arrested more drug users than anybody else. And they have this this procedure called the tap and rap, where they knock on your door, and if you open it, boom, they got you. And even if you've done nothing wrong. And then they just go, oh, you don't have anything to hide, do you? And then they walk right into your house and they got you.
You did do something wrong. You opened the door. That's it. And then they engage
exactly.
You. We don't understand in general. We do not understand the language we are using. I mean, I think people need to realize it's the Queen's English we are all using. That is the language of law. I know people talk about Black's Law Dictionary, Bouvier's, Murdoch's, and all of this, but it's the Queen's English. It's hers. She is the only recognized sovereign to them, to her servants. We are considered less than human, subjects, slaves, chattel.
Well, talked about how our nations have now become corporations. And that would make us stock, livestock.
Well, that's why your passport. Let me get. What color is your passport, Vinny, if you were to describe it?
It's blue with gold kind of trim with a shield on it that has the queen and a Māori. In fact, I've got it right here, I think.
Would you be surprised if I told you in Europe our passport suddenly changed and they have now all become oxblood? Oxblood red.
It's because they're all chattel.
Exactly. I mean, the Irish people used to have a green passport. And it became oxblood red, and nobody apparently raised an objection.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, each country, you know, what I have said, Vince, many times is that each country is a tax farm, and we are the tax cattle, and the governments are the farmers.
Mm. Hey, do you know why the government had to close all of its public schools? Because they didn't have any principals.
That's a good one. I think a lot of people, when they hear that, they'll have to sit and think about that one for a second.
I don't think so. I think the answer is pretty obvious, you know. Everybody's started to click onto the fact that the government doesn't have any principles. Cops aren't there to protect you. They're there to harm you. Courts aren't there to give you justice. They're there to take it from you.
That's right. Well, I mean, that's right.
You see, so this is what happens. I mean, sheep, after a time, I think, well, the shepherd there he is, he's defending us from wolves. He must be doing good, right? He's on our side. But the shepherd, that very same shepherd, will lead the lambs to the slaughter when it's time.
That's right. I mean, exactly.
Still become chicken nuggets.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. Yep. We're all cattle within the farm, and the countries are just farms with invisible borders. And the reason for passports, I mean, you touched on something very pertinent there, Vince, is that the passports are so that each group of farmers or governments can keep track of where their cattle are going when they roam off the farm. Absolutely. If you were truly free, if we were truly free and we had true freedom and liberty, you wouldn't need papers to leave your farm and then be, you know, remanded to your farm. Awesome.
And I think what a lot of people also don't realize about the passport, it's to pass the port. It's a port pass.
Now, maritime.
Yeah, but well, it's actually even more so because the actual port, P-O-R-T, that's a shortened version of the word portcullis. Now, the portcullis was the big gate that used to drop down in the castle, at the beginning of the castle, not quite where the keep was. Did you ever hear the expression, the castle and the keep?
Yeah.
And the keep would be where the king would be, or the queen, and whatever. And to pass that portcullis, you had to be passive. You know, anybody with a big brash ego wasn't allowed near the king or queen because, well, things would go bad. And that's why they call it the ID entity, the id. The id is the polar opposite of the ego. Ego and the id is a very interesting read. And it's your id entity. So when you show that to them, you're telling them, I can come in here and I will be passive. And then, of course, we aren't, and we get bopped on the head and, you know, all that other sort of jazz happens. But the importance of knowing and understanding this is that every time there's a police checkpoint, that is a pop-up port. You're at passport control, and you just don't know it. So the worst document you can show them is a driving license. I know many guys over here, we've explained it many, many times. If they stop you at a port, regardless as to where that port may be, whether it's 1,000 miles from the border or otherwise, show them your passport. Not a driving license. That's less than. That's a lower. That's a subdivision. That's a much lower status, if you will, document. And you don't actually hand them the passport. Just put it flat on your hand. Open your palm flat. Place it on your palm, and put it within their reach and allow them to take it. Because if you read inside, it says in your passport, "Do not surrender this to somebody unauthorized." And if you haven't checked if he's authorized, you're getting yourself into deep doo-doo again. So if you're going to do it, put it flat in the palm of your hand and ask the guy, are you authorized to receive this? If he says yes, now you will be afforded the protection from what it has inside that passport as he reads it. And I would always say, look, if you have any problems or difficulties, well, just call your boss, which is passive.
Right, right. Yeah, you could say it's fair to say that a driver's license is a form of branding.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it's a company name. I mean, if I were to take my driver's license out of my wallet right now and show it to you, you'd notice that, of course, just like a company registered with the company's office in New Zealand, my name, Vincent Christopher John Eastwood, is written in all capital letters, isn't it? So that's Capitis Diminutio Maxima. That means it's a company. Right, so who is this person on this piece of plastic here? Is that me? I'm not a company, am I? Was I registered? Was I incorporated or anything like that? Well, looks like I was. I've got this other birth certificate thing that has the exact same capital letters deriving my name. So when I'm born, I get a shipping receipt. You know, that's why they call it being birthed.
That's right.
Because you're a ship coming into port, baby. And now all of the stock and everything of that nature, which I am worth, all of my future taxation and everything of that nature can now be borrowed against my company.
And you get delivered at the dock or by the dock.
Yeah, well, yeah.
There's another layer to this, I don't think people realize, and that is that within the passport, you see, within the movement of chattel or cattle,
the movement.
Border, yeah, movement. I mean, look at driving, for example. I mean, you drive cattle, and what's the thing you're holding when you're in the car? What are we told it's called? The steering wheel.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, you know, you got to steer by the horns. That's what you're doing. That's how come you're driving. But just to go back to the passport for a second. Recently, within, say, 8-9 months, I think, there was an execution of an English man in China. And the reason he was executed was because the Crown and the Chinese did not have an insurance policy in place through the passport agreement. They had an agreement that, you know, people could pass from port to port, but there was no insurance in place. And that is why that man was executed. In your passport, if you read it, you will see very clearly it's an insurance policy. So it covers the country you go to, the tax firm you go to, against any damages you may cause when you're there, and your government will pick up the bill to their government, their tax farmers. Essentially, that's how it operates. Now, there are other layers of complexity, but if you actually take the time to read in your passport, no matter where you are on the planet, you will see, if you present it correctly and you operate it the way it's supposed to be operated, with full knowledge of what it's all about, they will actually afford you any assistance and protection you require if you do it correctly. Now, we've had guys over here who have done this. They've been stopped, asked for driving licenses, and they say, hey, well, you know, is this sufficient for you? You know, we are careful with our use of language. Is this what you are looking for? You know, and it's not a case of does this work or does this not work. What it's a case of is, are you correct or are you incorrect? Do you believe that you are correct when you are operating with another, or don't you? It's all about our intent. So one guy could try to do something like this, and if he's trying to be a smart ass, he is going to get dragged out of the car. He is going to get his egg cracked, and he's going to proclaim, oh, none of that works. That's all nonsense. So we have to be mindful of that too. Fortunately, some of us are idiots.
Yeah. It's a minefield out there.
Yeah. Now, quite literally.
Before I go, just one last thing, if you don't mind, guys. Again, I just want to reiterate, Ben Gilroy is definitely a peaceful man. He would harm no one. I'm sure his wife is beside herself worrying. They have a young child and other children, but they have a young child at home as well, babe in arms. And, you know, I would appreciate everybody being calm. Don't go sending, don't go ringing 500 times to the Garda stations demanding this, that, and the other. Be calm. Everything will be fine. Ben does know how to handle himself when it comes to language. He'll be fine. He will more than likely go in there and let that man in the high chair know that he was unaware of particular details, or in fact any details regarding a court order because it was a private matter between another party. They're trying to attach him to this. He had no actual first-hand knowledge, so he is more than likely going to let them know that if it was in breach of a court order, contempt, that more than likely the only thing it could possibly be was an honest mistake on his part. And they cannot criminalize an honest mistake. They can't make honesty illegal, at least not just yet.
Right. Not.
They can punish it, though.
An Irish minister, Willie O'Dea, used this methodology in court. Willie O'Dea, folks, you can look it up. He's a minister for something or other. He's down in Limerick in Ireland. He went in, told him he made an honest mistake, and they accepted gracefully and gleefully. And they said, that's absolutely no problem, Mr. O'Dea. Thank you very much. So there should be no problem for Ben in this regard. So I'd say to people, sit tight. Don't be worried. He'll be fine. You know, the guards and the prison officers and all those guys, all that he's talked to over the last year or two, they do respect and admire him, and they like him. They actually like him. He gets on with them. So he's not their enemy. We're not their enemy. He knows it, and they know it, and they know he knows it, and vice versa. So look, I'm going to tune out now, guys, and let's just get back to it. I think it's fantastic what you're doing, Vinny, over there in New Zealand. Todd and Stephen, I think it's fantastic what you're doing. I think it's fantastic what the guys are doing here in Ireland and England and France and Germany, and we're making these connections all around the whole world. I big up all of us. Thank you very much, and I really appreciate it. Good night, and God bless all of you.
No worries. Absolutely. Vince.
Thank you, Vince.
Have a good night.
You're welcome.
All right. There you go. Well, you know, I always wondered at this. If the laws were made for honest people, then they'd get honest people to enforce them, wouldn't they?
Yes,
but
they would.
It's unfortunate. Have you guys ever been, accosted or had any experience with a police officer where the police officer lied to you or deceived you in some way? And just think about this. My God, it's almost every single time that I've had an interaction with a police officer, they've been dishonest. Mm-hmm.
Right, right. Well, they're actually allowed. Do you know, Vinny, they're actually trained to do that, and they do that when they're interrogating somebody. They call it a discovery, and they're actually allowed to lie to you in order to, quote-unquote, discover the truth, but yet, if you lie to them, then you're in big trouble because the slaves are not allowed to lie to their masters.
You're only allowed to say two words to the police. No comment.
That's right. That's right. I think, and as some people call them here in the United States, the police.
The po-po.
The police. That's what they say that a lot in the ghetto areas. The police. Yeah. Police is coming.
Yeah, well,
there ain't no police. You don't need police.
Yeah. Ain't no police. Get out of here.
Yeah. Vinny, Todd, I've seen quite a few videos of Ben and what he does, his work. One of the most, I mean, actually the first one I seen, it was called Ben Gilroy Stops Sheriff from Evicting Family. And with systematically, within, I think, about a 25-minute video, he just uses the Constitution and his knowledge of the wordings and the laws, and he just stymies a locksmith. I think it was probably the sheriff's deputies and the Gardaí over there in Ireland, and systematically sent them on their way. And then other videos I've seen, he's taken back a pub or a restaurant type of establishment from being taken away from the banks or the servicers, whatever you want to call them over there. He's done a lot of very, very good work, and if I had to speculate, and I really don't want to, but like Vince said, I can't imagine him opening that door They must have broke it down and took him forcefully.
Yeah, and what's interesting to note to that, Steve, is that like Vince was saying, it's a civil matter, you know. So they broke into a man's castle to take him away for a civil matter.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Yeah. It's almost like physics, you know. It's a dark matter now. Because if they break the law, they won't have the law equally applied to them for those who broke it. This is something I wanted to say first hour was in New Zealand. We've got this new law coming, and it's a New Zealand equivalent of the Patriot Act called the GCSB Bill. GCSB is the Government Surveillance and Security Bureau, or whatever it is. And there were 88 activists in this nation, probably some of which are friends of mine. We will never be confirmed or denied who they were. But 88 of them, prior to this bill being passed, were unlawfully surveilled. Then they passed the law, and after they passed the law, they said all of the employees and the directors who unlawfully spied on the citizens of New Zealand are immune from prosecution.
Of course they are.
Sure.
You know that you're living in a top-down dictatorship when the law is not applied equally. When was the last time you saw a cop go to jail, or a judge get arrested, or a politician have to answer into a court for a jury of his peers or something of that nature? It very rarely happens. And ironically enough, those people who are the ones who make the laws, enforce the laws, and judge the laws are the ones to whom the laws do not fracking apply.
Yeah, Vinny.
Well, that's right. That's what I was saying earlier. They just orbit outside of the system that they create for us. I mean, if you look at our president, Obama, and the Attorney General Holder, you know, they've got caught with Fast and Furious red-handed shipping weapons to drug cartels in Mexico, and nothing happened. They're above prosecution.
Yeah, I was going to say, at a local gym that I go to, I know of a judge. He's just a county judge. I posed the question to him one time, and he said he doesn't really think he knows. He would have to research it, but I asked him if just the average Joe citizen could bring charges up on a politician, and he said he didn't really think so, but he would have to look into it. And I thought to myself, how ironic, the criminals keep themselves from being prosecuted or gone after.
Well, yeah, another way to say that too, Steve, is that, you know, the public, here's a very revealing way to put it. The public servants cannot be charged by the public or those that they serve.
Sure, absolutely.
It's kind of like a parent can't be punished by their own children. But in some cases, having children is its own punishment. But
yeah,
there's some justice there. You see, this is payback for all the grief you caused your parents.
That's right, exactly.
You know, especially there is justice in the universe. There is justice in the universe, but not in the justice system. You know, that's the reason why they call it the justice system, is because it's just for us, not for them.
Just us.
Just us.
I mean, and that's why they also call it the criminal justice system, because it's just criminal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Am I the only one who's like kind of, I don't know, teetering the tightrope walk of sanity whenever you look at things, okay? And see, if you were crazy, and I mean real bat-shiite Muslim crazy, you'd look at the world and you'd go, yep, makes total sense. There ain't nothing to miss.
Sure.
If you're a sane person, on the other hand, and you're looking objectively at reality, you go, man, this is driving me nuts.
That's right.
I can't even handle it. And you know, this is how you know that you're being governed by the insane. You know, you have a look at Obama and John Kerry, and they, you know, this is one of my guests today on the show, he said that John Kerry looks very similar to Lurch from the Addams Family.
Sure.
You know,
Lurch.
He got everything but the bolts in his neck. And I got, how can we deal with this? You know, and when you try to explain to people how the world really works, they look at you as if you're the crazy one. It's like, oh my god, the sanity spectrum. It's pretty fluid at this point, isn't it? I mean, how can we deal with this? And I was just like wondering, how do you know whether or not you're the crazy one? And the answer is, I question my sanity. A crazy person doesn't question their sanity.
That's right.
That's right.
Obama doesn't question his scumbaggery. Neither does John Kerry. These people never, ever, ever put a foot forward without willing to keep another foot coming. You know, that's the problem with these people. They've got such a lack of self-analysis that the entire world is like in a sinkhole of insanity.
But do you think it's insanity, or do you think maybe it's inbreeding?
I think it's psychopathy, actually.
Okay.
That's what.
And psychopathy is actually a parasite. And we've got now pictures of these parasites.
A syphilitic parasite?
I'm not 100% sure, but we had a number of interviews on my show a couple of weeks ago where we had people who were talking about the spiritual aspects of it, like the archons and the jinn and so on and so forth back throughout history, through ancient times. And then we had people who were talking about actual real psychology and that kind of thing, the mentality behind them. And every single one of these people all agreed that this is a parasite. It actually attaches to you, destroys your ability of empathy, creativity, and then you are left with simple human drives. Sex, violence, drugs, power, and control. They're the only things that matter to these people. Yeah. Really.
Yeah,
that's
power,
right.
And control, chief of all. And you think about this. Can you name a single U.S. president who gave themselves less power and control?
No. There probably hasn't been one.
Certainly doesn't come to mind, does it?
No. Well, no, the very nature of the system is designed to allow the sociopaths and the psychopaths to float to the top. I mean, that's the very nature of the corporate world. The corporate world innately allows the sociopaths and the psychopaths to float to the top because of the way everything works. That's just the nature of it.
Well, yeah, let's say you've got three honest people in a room and one psychopath, and they're all vying for the same job.
None of them work for Congress, all right?
Yeah, and so let's say you've got these three innocent, decent people who are really working hard, and they've paid their dues, and they want the job of CEO. And then you got one psychopath in the room who goes, I can dig up dirt on these other three guys, sabotage them in front of the current CEO,
that's right.
And then he'll be left with no choice but to put me in there.
Make that brownie point. That's right.
All right. Brown nosing, manipulation, deception, things of these natures which have become quintessential political tools in Congress, in the Senate, in the presidency, in the cabinet, in the beehive, in New Zealand. Every single thing ties into the psychopathic mentality. Police, judges, doctors, lawyers, religious gurus, priests, etc. If you are in a position of authority, if you're in a position of power, you will attract these psychopathic entities. They love that Shiite Muslim.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's the same type of way in Hollywood over here in America. Unless you're part of a group or you spread it on the casting couch, you're not going to get anywhere. If you're not part of the family or part of a certain group or you spread them like a streetwalker, you're not going to get anywhere.
Mm. And I think that what's happening now is that all things good within society, you know, honor, common decency, morality, respect, ethics are being eroded.
Well, I think in these groups of politician types, I think that all empathy and all of these other attributes that you're describing, I think they've been deleted from these people. They've been, well, look at Barack Obama. In his first book, he said he didn't go to college to learn anything. He went to college to be trained. He went to college to be trained to be more presentable to the white people here in America. And I think I'm kind of paraphrasing, but his words were he was trained not to be a angry black man, but a more presentable black youth.
Now, this actually exposes a very important truth between our education systems. Is there not that, like, who was it that told me this? I forget it was. In fact, I might have made it up myself. Universities are supposed to teach critical thinking, right?
Sure.
Right? They don't.
Mine did.
They teach people to be critical of those who can still think, despite being university educated.
That's right. If people were able to critically think and you knew their logical fallacies and could pick them out when they are seen, they would never turn another TV on again. There would be no advertising. There would be no movies. There would be no nightly MSNBC, CBS, ABC, BBC. Pick one of the ignorant alphabetical news agencies, and they would go out of existence if people could learn their logical fallacies.
Yeah,
that's right.
And which is why, logically, whenever you see a politician speak across a TV screen or something, all I see is a phallus.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Little play on words there, but you're correct.
Well, you know, this is unfortunately the case, is that all those we've been taught to respect, to listen to honor, and to serve have actually been those who were there to destroy us and everything we hold dear. And that's the real tragedy, is it not?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Gee, I just actually thought of something. I maybe should have been one of the first questions there, Vinny, but what actually woke you up? What awakened Vinny Eastwood?
There's a combination of factors. I started listening to Bill Hicks. A friend of mine showed me From the Wilderness, Mike Rupert?
I've heard former of that, CIA. Sure.
He did a presentation called The Truth and Lies of 9/11, still on the internet, and we watched that. And after a while, about halfway through, we just started laughing at virtually everything he said, because it was so funny to see how obvious all the connections and everything were between all these scumbaggery agents. My flatmate also introduced me to Bill Hicks, and I started listening to that. I actually basically memorized a number of different gigs by Bill Hicks, and I can recite them at will at the time.
He was 30 years ahead of his time, wasn't he?
I have, here, hold on a second, I'll actually see if I can grab it off the wall for you.
Yeah, but he was actually probably about 30 years ahead of his time.
Yeah, yeah, Bill Hicks. Was. Yep. Yeah, he was. He had a lot of revealing, insightful stuff to say.
Yeah, and here we have, I had it painted for me by a work colleague of mine, Rip Bill Hicks, 1961. To 1994, you know, so he's a young man, and he was like basically one of the greatest sources of inspiration for me. And at the time, I was selling weed, you know, as everybody does in university, and I got busted. And naturally, being a really naive young man at the same time, I told the cops everything. I said, yes, I'm a drug dealer. Yes, I've been selling about an ounce a week for about 8 months. And so they took me to jail. I had the worst frickin' experience of my entire frickin' life. And then when they came to court, they made up evidence, even though they had a full confession, even though the evidence was damning already. Yeah. And it was like the first guy in front of me, he was up for stealing a jar of Craig's jam from a local BP service station, and he was ordered to pay reparations of $4.33 or something like that to replace the jar of Craig's jam. and the guy behind him, who was just in front of me, was up for sexual assault, resisting arrest, and growing 5 cannabis plants. He gets 150 hours community service. And because the cops never advised me of my right to remain silent or any of my rights before they interrogated me, all of the confession and everything that I gave them had to be thrown out. And so all they had on me was 13 grams of cannabis, not even half an ounce. And I got 300 hours of community service.
Hmm.
Wow.
It's like, whoa. And so I dropped out of university, had to work for a year on the vineyards and things like that while I was also doing my community service down at a regional park. And I went back to university the very next year. I had a mescaline trip, and it told me, go to Auckland, go to university, get a job as a telesalesman. So I did that, you know. I went back to university, got a job as a telesalesman. I became really, really skilled at talking, as you can tell. And I was number one, top of the boards, you know. And then at university, I wrote an essay this one time, you know. And I'd never really worked really hard at university. I've always, you know, cruised by on C's and C pluses and so on and so forth, you know. Didn't really pay a whole lot of attention or do a hell of a lot of work, frankly. And you don't need to in university because it's for morons. What I also found out is that when I wrote this essay, one of the topics was anti-television discourse, which means talking smack about TV, basically. And I was like, whoa, yeah, that's something that I want to do. I read all this source material, all these books, made all these references, and did a hell of a lot of work on it, and even showed it to a friend of mine's father, who was an English professor who I was friends with as well. And he said, man, that's a brilliant essay. We're talking about how TV mind controls people, how it gives them a short attention span, how it distracts them from real personal issues and destroys their lives, essentially, by putting things in front of them that they'll never achieve and never actually hope to achieve in their entire frickin' lifetime. And I handed it in to be marked, and they gave me a D-, and I failed. And I was like, whoa, this place is full of crap. I'm getting the frack out of here. And so I started working full-time. And then I started making a lot of money. And then I've got promoted, and I didn't want to do sales anymore, didn't want to do telesales or anything like that. I wanted to hang up my guns, as it were. So naturally, they promoted me to do another sales job. and I got bored with that, and I started writing up, and I wrote up this essay, the 7-page essay about what was wrong with the company, their training protocols, their provisioning systems, everything, because I'd spent a lot of my time at that company going around and talking to all these different people from all these different divisions and making sure I understood the entire apparatus of the corporate structure that, as it was working in there, how it was affecting all my fellow employees. And after about 2 minutes or whatever of reading through this thing, the second in charge CEO, just says, gets a text message, and he says, I've got to go. 3 days pass, nothing happens. Send him an email. What's going on with these complaints, with these concerns? He says, as far as I'm concerned, the matter is closed. Then a couple of days later, my boss comes to me and says, Vinny, come and have a coffee with me next door. I go, all right. Slaps a piece of paper down in front of me, says, sign it. And I go, what am I signing? He says, we're going to pay you 6 weeks' wages to leave.
Severance.
And I go, what do you mean, like right now? And he's like, yeah, 5 minutes. And I was like, okay. Well, I hadn't had a summer holiday in quite a few years. So I took that money. It was like $3,000. And it's like, sweet, live off that for a while. Then I had to get another job after all that money ran out. And these people fracked me big time. I actually had to pay like $60 a week to work. I had to pay for my own cell phone. I had to pay for my own gas and everything like that, driving around for these people. And they were paying me about 5% of what those contracts and everything that I was selling for them were worth. And so we quit that job, and a whole bunch of us started this new company. And turns out that the guy who was running that was a psychopath. He'd give me a call at 10 o'clock at night on a Friday while I'm at my friend's place having a beer on the couch, telling me to get up, get off the couch, find a pen and paper, and get the number down of a client to call on Monday. Not an isolated incident.
Wow.
All the time. I was getting so stressed out. I had to get high every single freaking day before work because I was so stressed out. I just couldn't handle life. And I was watching like 2 documentaries a day at that point. My knowledge base of the world around me was starting to geometrically kind of spiral out of control, and it was destroying me because I knew that I was a slave and I was a corporate stooge and that I was doing it for the money and that I didn't have any freaking choice in the matter. And I saw all this crap around me, and I saw that there was no alternative media in New Zealand. I mean, apart from my friend Jonathan Eisen, who does this magazine here, Uncensored Magazine, best freaking magazine in the country, bar none. And one day, I felt like quitting. And I call up my friend John Eisen, and I said to him, you know, I feel like quitting. And he goes, well, does it feel right? And I go, yeah. Yes, it does. It does feel right. So I quit. And I had $11,900 worth of shopping vouchers that had been given to me as a bonus for 45 days work, and $5,000 cash. I was capable of living off that for a while. So I bought a camera, bought a Mac computer, I got the frack out there and started interviewing the activists at the protests, started filming the public meetings and uploading them. After a while, a guy comes along named Mitch Santel, greatest producer money can buy. Incidentally, he volunteered because I couldn't pay him anything. And he offered me a slot as co-host on American Freedom Radio with a guy named Brent Johnson. American Freedom Radio and a lot of other people didn't like Brent Johnson, so they cancelled our show and just gave it to me. 3 years later, here I am. I have the country's number one ranked YouTube channel. I have more subscribers than the New Zealand Herald, which is the equivalent of the New York Times of New Zealand. I have a radio show that is 5 days a week. I've put more New Zealand activists on live radio than any other media entity in the country's history. In fact, all of them combined.
That's awesome.
I put out more hours of YouTube videos per day than about 90% of people in the truth movement worldwide. And that's talking about people who are actually putting up videos every single day from their shows and so on and so forth. Not many people do that.
Sure,
I do.
Sure.
Right. Everything that I've been given, from my shirt to the lighting to the Mac computers that I've got in front of me now, this microphone, the printer, the TV behind me, the cameras, the tripods, the wireless microphones that I use when I'm going out to the protest, the giant megaphones of 100 watts, of which there's only 6 in the frickin' country, and the cops have 3 of them. Okay? This is something that has all been given to me because I have proven beyond reasonable doubt, which I believe is what you should, that should be your balance of proof, right? That I am the alternative media entity in New Zealand. I give everybody a voice. I give everybody a platform. I'm not stingy with it. I don't care if you haven't made a name for yourself. I don't care if you don't have a website. I don't care if you've never been on radio before. I don't care if you've never used Skype before in your entire freaking existence. I will give you a couple of hours on air to tell your story because everybody's got one. And the one thing that really frustrates me about mainstream media is that there are so many activists out there who have incredible information, who have endured immense suffering, and there is nobody in the media who will listen to them.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
That's right.
Hey, Todd, I don't know if you realize it or not. I did tell you one time when I booked Vinny that he also booked us. I don't know if you actually realize that or not, but Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern, we will be on Vinny's show, and that is going to be actually your Friday morning, right, Vinny?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's going to be our Thursday night was going to be his Friday morning show. 6 p.m. Central, we'll be on his show. And while we got like 2 minutes...
5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern.
Right.
Awesome. Yes, yes,
look
yes.
Forward, I look
yes.
forward to it.
I'm sorry. 5 p.m. Central, 6 Eastern. While we got like a couple minutes left here, Vinny, go ahead and do the plug thing.
All right. It's kind of like a bathtub. Doesn't work very well without a plug.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, so I've got a number of websites. I want to encourage people to go to my YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/Vincent Eastwood. Or you just search Vinny Eastwood. Vinny with a Y because it's the most important question. Eastwood as in go ahead. Make my news.
Make my news.
And My website is thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's the, T-H-E, Vinny with a Y, eastwoodshow.com. You can get the archives for free off of there. If you donate or subscribe, you can, sure enough, you know, take away the commercial-free archives. In fact, you can have them even if you don't donate or subscribe. I don't really give a frack, all right? At the end of the day, I'm just trying to survive. I'm trying to do what is not being done. And what is not being done in New Zealand is having an alternative media apparatus to support the activists who are sacrificing their life, their liberty, their property, in many cases, to serve the greater cause of freedom in this nation. And indeed, everything that's happening here is happening elsewhere at the same time. So I get on American activists too, because you got to listen to people. That's something that George Norrie told me when I interviewed him. I'm very lucky to be able to interview him. And hats off to Mitch Santel. He's now producing the Hagman & Hagman Report out of Los Angeles. You got to talk to the people. That's it. If you don't talk to the people, you're suddenly going to start getting full of yourself and you're going to turn into some form of douchebag. And if I ever turn into some form of douchebag, please, ladies and gentlemen, expose me. Okay? Keep me on the straight and narrow, because I've got a lot of talent, I've got a lot of ability, and it could be used for great evil if I were to stray from my path. Thank you.
Sure. Did you also put the Real Gorilla Media in there too? Or?
Oh, yeah. RealGorillaMedia.com. RealGorillaMedia.com. The reason why it's Real Gorilla Media is because my name, Gorilla Media, was stolen by a sociopathic scumbag who I will not name.
All right.
And well, if you get out of line, the people will tar and feather you promptly.
Well, let's hope so. And if somebody steals my ideas, it means, hey, I must have an idea worth stealing.
Yes, absolutely.
That's right.
And on that note, we'll go ahead and end this marathon tonight. It's been a very good show, and we thank you for coming on, Vinny.
I really appreciate the platform and giving me a full 2 hours. It's been really lovely, gentlemen. I've enjoyed it.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. It was great talking with you.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good night. Okay. I'm going to turn my camera off. Don't need my camera anymore. I've got my own little thing here, so... Been a long night. I need to do some things, Todd, so I'm not going to be able to talk very long on Skype after we sign off here.
Oh, I've got to get going anyway. Yeah, it's all right.
So we'll see you tomorrow night. We got one tomorrow night, Thursday night, and Friday night.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, it starts at 6, right? 6 p.m. Eastern?
On Thursday, yes.
And then how long does it go?
2 hours.
Okay.
I think we'll just do 2, so that's fine. If that's okay with you.
Yeah, that's fine with me. And then tomorrow is a regular time, right?
Yes, 7
to 9.
7 to 9, yep.
Okay, cool.
So, everybody, for Todd Foster, I'm Steve Roberts. We're signing off. This is Cancel the Cabal. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
I've been loving you too long to stop now. You were tired and you want to be free. Grown stronger as you become a habit to me. Ooh, and loving you too long. I don't want to stop now. Oh. With you, my life. Wonderful. I can't stop now.